Stanford Steve and the Bear is presented by Allstate. Get protected from mayhem this year when you switch and save with Allstate.
The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in week 14, Championship Saturday edition. Bear, it is week 14 because Akron is playing Buffalo Friday, 1 o'clock
Bowl
Eastern.
Bowl eligibility on the line for the Bulls.
Enormous game. Haven't dove into the weather yet there. I expect it'll be a little crisp on a Friday afternoon in Buffalo at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find that game on ESPN+. I will make it a point to watch that game just because it's there and we need the Zips and Buffalo in our system on the last weekend of the college football season.
Shout out to Joe Moorhead and the Zips, by the way, for beating the you-know-what out of the Huskies, i.e.
You know, I was trying to go through the games, and off the get, the score that didn't make any sense to me this year was Illinois losing to Indiana. But then that sort of evened out. And then you go down the line, you know, I really think Washington's kicking themselves for losing to Arizona State.
Oh,
I feel like if they won that game, they would be
playing. That was the one that got me, because I was looking at the Pac-12 standings and the Rose Bowl type stuff, and Washington, like, well, I'm like, how, why are they ranked so high? They're 10-2, and I'm like, how the hell did they lose to ASU?
Yeah, it's pretty nuts when you think about it. Going back, I know everybody's going to have theirs, and I'm not going to be able to rattle them all off, but that Akron Northern Illinois score last week was, I double checked it like three times. I went in, checked the box score to make sure the names and teams were right. But hey, good for the Zips. I believe their number was 2.5 to start the year. So if Akron, I mean, God bless you. If you had the over and Joe Moorhead,
you're alive.
You got a chance. You got a chance. I want to. I'll touch on our season win totals at the end of this.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
I'm trying to figure out, and I don't want to obviously risk all of my potential winnings on my North Carolina ticket, but I don't want to have to lay $3 on the money line with Clemson. Like, is there really any way Akron goes there and wins? Like, I'm looking for like a money, like a simple money line parlay that I can kind of throw together with Clemson. Is it Clemson, UTSA? I don't know, but is it just Clemson and Buffalo? You think that? I mean, I don't think Buffalo will lose. Do you?
No, the other team I would think about throwing in. Obviously, Georgia. And, and Troy, maybe?
The only thing that worries me about that is I hear McCall is not necessarily ruled out yet. I mean, I know there are other reports about Chadwell and USF, but that number opened up at, 4.5 or 5, and it steamed all the way up. Like, look, I've been on Troy a couple of times this year, and
yeah,
I can see it.
Here's my deal. If he does play, right, the line's at 8.5 right now, I think it's going to go down, and I'd be more liking of Troy. So I would wait and just see. That way you know, because – when I think about McCall and all he does and what makes him effective, I think he needs to be 100%, and he's not going to be in this game for Coastal to win this game. So that's why I wanted to talk about that game actually because of that idea of McCall against – that Troy defense is real.
Oh, yeah.
And they're motivated, and they're at home. Like, that's as good of a spot for a team in that stature – you know, Sun Belt Conference Championship that I think you're going to get. And if McCall does start and he can't go, like you saw what Coastal looks like, it ain't great. So that's why I would, if you're trying to piece together Moneyline Parlay, I would have Troy in there with the other.
If you do Buffalo, Clemson, and Georgia, that's pretty close to even money.
And
it looks like minus 125 or so.
Here's my other kicker.
That I could deal with.
My other kicker is,
talk to me.
I don't want anything to do with this ACC championship game. I know you're invested, but good God, am I tired of watching ACC football this year. I am there. I have fatigue. I'm exhausted. I'm fried out from it. And I look at that game, I'm like, there's no chance I will have a side in that game. And like I said, I know you're previously invested. It's an awesome call and a great position to be on. But, man, watching Clemson last week and North Carolina the last 2 weeks.
I was going to say North Carolina,
they play the same game every week, it feels like. Is North Carolina's defense going to hold up? Maybe.
You know
what?
That's the funny thing. That's the funny thing, though. Just imagine that if you would have said going into the Georgia Tech game that it was going to be the North Carolina offense, which cost them two games that they were favored to win in. You know, I'm wondering if in the tease or in the halftime of that ACC title game, or I tried to sell something on Game Day this week. I want to do like a pour one out ode to the ACC Coastal piece. Like, I mean, this is it. No more divisions next year.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get the screen grabs of all the teams at 4-4 and the ACC Wheel of Destiny. Got to take pictures every year. Miami projected to win the ACC Coastal. The Frank Beamer 0-0 screen grab. Like, the ACC Coastal just delivered year in and year out. So I think we should put the utmost possible respect on the ACC Coastal as we play the final ACC game with a Coastal representative.
And as many times as your Jets have been referred to just end the season, that's what I think of with the ACC this year. Just get it done and get on with yourselves. Now, I will say all that, a couple things from this past weekend, because we are finally on a Wednesday and it's still a little fresh in our minds. I was so pumped to watch Florida State, Florida in that kind of atmosphere on a Friday night. Like, if that game is going to be
good, was that?
Oh man, the energy and the wherewithal of Florida to just—they know they're not as capable, but man, they were going to go after it. And Richardson, we saw the limitations. They kept running the ball. I thought they were phenomenal. I was so happy with that game. And then, just as typical as it is, but I will say, it's an unbelievable coaching job by Dave Doran in NC State this year to go through four quarterbacks and get to eight wins. And that's something when we talk about playoff dominates conversation and all that. I look at what NC State went through. I loved them this year because of that defense and because of that coaching staff. I mentioned numerous times he didn't have one person leave his coaching staff. It just tells you a lot about the idea of what's going on in Raleigh. And Finley, everybody knows his brother, and he comes in, throws for 271, and they get a win against North Carolina. Those were two games that were just awesome. Awesome to watch.
No, and I think it showed too in the interview on the field afterwards. He was clearly good, caught up in the emotion of it, just with everything that they had going on, and it was good to see.
No doubt. All right, let's get to this weekend. We know we know the rankings, we know the standings, we know the scenarios. We see Ohio State ahead of Alabama. It all feels like, if USC cannot beat the same team twice and have two losses to the same team, I can't get there. I understand they're playing in a conference title game. Alabama's not. Tennessee's not. Ohio State's not. But you have a chance right here to overcome everything. It's right there for the taking. And I just can't get there because I've said all week, we'll get to the Big 12 game, but if there's one team you don't want to have to play twice in the Pac-12, it's Utah. And I love the way Kyle Whittingham came into the press conference this week and basically was like, oh, so you guys have USC in the playoffs, so that means they won this game. Why are we even playing this game? What, Utah can't compete with this team, blah, 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 blah. So I love the approach he has. You saw them dig down, go down early at home in the first game between these two teams. I do think Utah has an advantage of now having two games of tape with that USC offense and no Travis Dye. I think that's huge because you saw what USC's answer was, and that is a overcompensation to involve Caleb in the run game. And now you got a Utah team that loves the idea of having that because now they can take more shots on them. I like Utah plus the points, and I think they win the game.
Yeah, I do too. And I think you hit on a lot of the defensive things as well. But I think if you look at the offensive side of the ball as well, you look at what Dalton Kincaid did in that first meeting, whatever it was, like 16 catches for 230. And I think of all the teams in the Pac-12 against USC, I think Utah is the one offensively that you probably would feel the best about because typically they're not turning the ball over multiple times. Again, they did have one, I think, down near the goal line in that first meeting. But I think as a whole, Utah is the type of team that's not going to give SC short field, easy points, just completely dribble down their leg and hand them turnovers like Drew Pine did the other night in LA. But I'm with you. I like Utah plus the points. And I think ultimately we're going to wind up with Ohio State in the playoff off of a USC loss.
Agreed. Get the stat line right for Saturday's show. Or no, you're not even going to need it because the game's Friday night. Dalton Kincaid against USC, 16 catches, 234 yards, and a touchdown. Going back and watching that tape, I believe he missed one snap of the game, and I think it got to 19 targets. So he was absolutely incredible in that game. I know Utah people are texting me and tweeting me how he didn't make the finalist award for the John Mackey Award. Listen, the only thing I could come up with is he missed the game, and that's why he's not.
And you know, and you know, name recognition. You knew Bowers was going to be one. You knew Mayer was going to be one. So,
yep. And at the beginning of the year, Keithy was the guy, and you know that was why I loved Utah's offense because they had Kincaid and Keithy. So Kincaid, listen, you're not going to find a bigger fan of him than me. So I'm with you. We're both on Utah. That could be a money line there for sure. So Friday night, the other game is Conference USA. It is UTSA at home, I believe in the Alamo Dome, correct? Yeah, North Texas, great story there. Things back on track.
This first game was wild.
Good to see some new flavor in a conference championship.
Yeah, this first game was wild too. Right, we were in like 21 points in the final 3 minutes or something like that. It was something. Yeah. It was a wild finish. And I'm curious. And again, I know they're not going to get in as into the New Year's Six, but I don't think UTSA or Troy have received the proper amount of recognition. I mean, they're both really good teams. Like, I mean, look, if Tulane wins, like they're going to be the Group of Five representative, and I don't think you're going to get an argument. They went to Kansas State and won. I mean, that's a great. But like, if Tulane loses, like, I'm not convinced UCF is better than UTSA or Troy. I'm not.
No, because I look at the capability, and I go back and watch UTSA. The problem was they played their worst game of the year against Texas. They had that game, and they turned it over, and Bijan busted a couple huge plays. But it does feel like everybody's on UTSA here. I'd be wary of that. That game, when was that game? Yeah, October 22nd. It's funny how all these games, that was, I believe that was Utah-USC too when they played. UTSA, North Texas, that's a 6-0 game at halftime. Or no, 6-3 game at halftime. And then there were 7 touchdown scored in the second half, including 5 in the fourth quarter alone. The last one coming with UTSA 10-yard pass from Frank Harris to DeCorian Clark to get the lead 31-27. That was the final in that one. So this is just like last year with the Hilltoppers and the Roadrunners. This one's a sit back and watch for me because this is going to be a really good game. And it does feel like a lot of points in the rematch, but I don't doubt either of these teams. And I love what both coaching staffs have done. UTSA maintaining what they did last year and North Texas getting things back on track and not giving in. So that's a fun one. 7:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network, Friday night. Total 68.5. I don't know what the number is, but I would think there'd be more points scored in the first half this time than last time.
I was just thinking that too. I think people will probably see the fourth quarter of that game for sure and expect a majority of that game to be like that.
And UTSA always does a good job of trying to jump out with that home crowd. I'm expecting that place will be packed as they've had it.
The Socceroos have scored. The Socceroos have scored. We're recording this during the Denmark and Australia and France, Tunisia. Denmark a long way back now. They need two in the final 30 minutes.
Uh-oh.
See if they can get them.
Does Tunisia have a shot?
Tunisia, yes. I think if they win, they do get it. What did they do? Because they beat Australia, right? I'm not fully up on all of my permutations, right? To Tunisia, by the way, I missed a Tunisia goal. Tunisia had scored as well. They are up 1-0 on France. So let's see what the live. Yeah, they are going to Tunisia. Cannot get in with an Australia win.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yeah, so Tunisia is going to need Denmark to come back and get a goal to keep Australia from winning. I apologize. I apologize. I did not have my. My Group D permutations all ready to go at the current moment.
All good. So let's go.
Going to be an interesting final 30 minutes here. I will be in Dallas. Yes, Arlington.
You'll be in Las Vegas Friday night, correct?
No. No. Fox has that game on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. They do?
Yeah. Yeah. That is not an ESPN game. ABC game this year.
I believe
it alternates every year.
In the Big D, Kansas State. TCU, I've gone back and watched this game three times from the first game this week and just seeing what Kansas State did. And the narrative out there that TCU came back because Howard got hurt is not true.
No, don't say that.
That game's 28-24 when they do tackle him and he goes out. He missed.
Are you saying the narrative is wrong?
Yeah,
public opinion is wrong? No.
Going back, it's 28-24. TCU tackles Howard. They score a touchdown on the next series. So now they lead 31-28. The other kid comes in, throws a brutal interception. Then the fourth quarter starts, and Johnny Hodges makes a play on a 4th-and-1 quarterback sneak that is just tremendous. But going back and watching it, when Martinez was in for the first series, and I think he got dinged up on the first play because he busts a zone read for like 20 yards, got tackled kind of awkward. That's the game where we didn't have the sideline reporter and we couldn't get any information. But I expect TCU's defense to play a lot better in this game because going back and watching the tape, they were really quick to go and quick to anticipate Kansas State's run game. And when you watch the line, I mean, they are flying out of there trying to, you know, have some gap awareness. And Deuce Vaughn did a great job of being slow to go on some runs and letting TCU overrun things and him cutting upfield. So that was pretty eye-opening because TCU's defense the last couple weeks has been as physical as I've seen anyone play. And I get it. It's Iowa State. It's Texas. And it's who was last week?
Iowa State was last week.
Baylor.
Baylor was in between there. That Texas TCU game was a very physical game.
Yes,
up front, and it was good to see them able to win a game like that because that was the thought that their offensive line would not be able to hold up against a physical front like that.
And I put Kansas State in the same category as I do Utah Bear. If there's one team you don't want to play twice in the Big 12, I think it's Kansas State. Obviously not being the conference leader right now, which is TCU. But Kansas State in that run game, I wonder what kind of wrinkles they could put in to compensate that. Like I said, I expect TCU to be better on defense. I think Kansas State having another chance against TCU's offense means something. Therefore, just like Utah, I'm taking Kansas State in this game.
I'm a little jaded in this game just because I, like, in the position I have with TCU and the TCU ticket as well to win the Big 12. It's like I'm almost not even handicapping this game because it is what it is. I mean, the TCU defense, I mean, the Kansas State defense has been great as well, yardage-wise, the last few weeks as well. Baylor, West Virginia, and Kansas. I mean, Kansas certainly did help them last week with a muff punt deep in there and just a couple of really bad decisions. But I kind of feel like this is an under game. I think people
like it. 62, I see.
Yeah, it seems really high. I mean, I know you had a higher scoring first game, and maybe it would have been higher had Howard not gotten hurt. But at the same time, I think what we've seen from the TCU defense in recent weeks, I think what we know that the Kansas State defense is certainly very capable of putting the clamps down on opposing offenses. I think this will, and I wonder too. Again, this is just me thinking. TCU, I'm sure, obviously wants to win the game, but at the same time, is there going to be a little bit of? It's kind of a poor way to say it, but like game control in a sense where, you know, we'll be like, hey, you know what, if we aren't going to win, let's milk some clock or like to at least keep the score in checks to make sure we are in. Again, I'm just throwing like ridiculous ideas out there, but I could see this game being a lower scoring game than most might think.
I agree with you there. I also think about how crazy these Big 12 games have been the last couple of years, man.
We've all been one-score games lately.
Yeah. So I expect a high-level game. I do expect this game to seem a lot faster, seeing how both these teams are playing on turf. And the last time we saw them was on that TCU grass. And there's plenty of team speed on both sides. So I'm fired. I'm glad this is noon. I love that USC is Friday night and TCU is Saturday at noon Eastern.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This week's Mayhem Moment is the Pac-12 championship game. It has been an annual dose of seeing a team right on the cusp of making the playoff and then peeing down their leg. Good thing USC wears gold pants. We will see that. And for the Pac-12 championship preview, that is this week's Mayhem Moment, which is brought to you by Allstate. Protect yourself from mayhem and save money by switching to Allstate. I'll say this. I am rooting for USC, and I don't think I've said that in a long time.
Why you just want to see the conference get a team in? Is that why?
I do. I really do. I think it's huge for the sport, for the interest, for everything. The big picture stuff, I think it's enormous because, Bear, there's a lot of people out there that said we need 12 to get everybody involved, right?
Yeah.
Everybody
gets
look
in.
Look what we have here after last night. We got four teams from four different conferences, and I keep bringing up the ACC, but I'm sorry they're not involved in this one this year, but that's on your own doing. So when I look at this, I've been on TCU you know, all year. I've had them at two weeks before the rankings were released. So I am rooting for USC and TCU, and that's why I'll probably have some happiness hedge bets on Kansas State and Utah. It makes it very simple. In my sick mind that I have, that's what I'll be playing. So that's what I have there. The one that I didn't know this. I'm sorry to the MAC people out there. But the first number I saw for Toledo, Ohio, was Ohio plus 4.5.
Yes.
And then.
That's correct.
And now it's 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
And Rourke is out at quarterback for Ohio. Great year. I think it's been 40 plus years since Ohio's won the MAC. So I really wanted to jump on board there, but I can't. I don't know about the deal with Finn playing. I guess he was in a boot again. I don't even think he finished a game last week, but the MAC title game in Detroit. Think about that. All the action we get, all the snow, all the crazy weather, and now they're at noon Eastern Saturday afternoon inside on the fast track of Ford Field in Detroit. Do you have anything here? I was thinking under.
It's hard to play not knowing Finn's status. I mean, that's just a massive deal. Without him, they're going to really struggle to score points, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's – although I think – who was – I think it was Toledo, Eastern Michigan, when Finn didn't play. I thought the quarterback played pretty well in the second half for Toledo. But in my mind, I'm rooting for Ohio just because they haven't won this, and I would like to see that. But I do love me some Rockets football. So that'll definitely be on the side TV for sure in some action title game. Whoa, we got a – how is this on the docket? 3 Eastern, Valpo at New Mexico
State. Yeah, oh, yeah, that was just added. That was just added to get Jerry Kill on the and the New Mexico State Aggies to a bowl game. They literally just added the game yesterday. They in New Mexico State got a waiver to face Valpo to get them to a 6th win and get them to a bowl game, which is awesome. The next time,
New Mexico State win the game.
so this
would be the worst story of the season if you schedule a game the week of.
Exactly.
And you lose it. Oh.
Exactly. So the next time a school or an AD, so no one wants to play us. They just got a game in like 2 days. So I don't want to hear about scheduling difficulties.
Don't even have a line posted for it. Gotta love it.
Nor should there
love
be.
Love this. Week 14. Pencil them in. We touched on the Sun Belt game. I think it's Troy. I would wait again to see them. That might go under a touchdown if the McCall news comes out. I'm still not worried about it.
What happens if Chadwell news comes out that Chadwell's going to USF? How does that change the game, if any? Because we saw last year the news about Napier going to Florida and Louisiana won the game. So
that's dicey. Because you could see them rallying the troops and giving an unbelievable effort, knowing that he's probably not going to be there for the bowl game, and this is their last chance to have that group together. I think as tight as that group is and what they've built, man, there's some cohesion there in that locker room. So I do expect a great effort out of Coastal no matter what. But that Troy team, Coach Summerall, has been unbelievable in that program and what he's done. Staff he's assembled, I've talked about it a couple weeks ago when they had Army, 10-2. 7-1 in the Sun Belt. Great, great season. I don't want that to go overlooked. Where are we with the head dogs, Georgia Bulldogs?
What do you mean?
Cruise control? Are they on cruise control?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Pretty nice to have that way playing in the SEC.
It is, isn't it? I know, exactly.
Is Daniels going to play?
The mighty SEC West.
Was that you that tweeted out before last week? It was like, imagine if I told you before the year Ohio State and Alabama wouldn't win their division.
Exactly. That was me. That was a lot of self-loathing too, being that I had the can't lose parlay to steal someone else's terminology of Ohio State to win the Big Ten East, Georgia to win the SEC East, and Alabama to win the SEC West. How'd that go?
I'll tell you. I picked before the year, I picked Georgia, UCLA, Alabama, and Ohio State. And I'm telling you right now, I know it sounds great. Georgia was the team I had the least confidence in. And now they're going to be the only one that makes it.
See, that's funny because I had the most confidence about Georgia just because they weren't going to play.
Because of the division?
Yeah. Tennessee obviously had a much better year than I thought at the beginning of the year. But being that game was in Athens, I never really felt that they were going to lose that game going into the year. And they played nobody. I didn't expect Florida to be very good this year as a threat. And I did not think the SEC East would be. As a whole, any good. And the crossover games that Georgia had against the West weren't concerning to me. So I thought Georgia was the biggest cinch of those teams that you'd mentioned.
All right. Yeah, I wouldn't touch LSU here.
I wouldn't either. To answer your initial question before we got completely sidetracked, I don't know. He was in a boot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still an opportunity to win the SEC. Odds are you're not going to win the game as a massive underdog, but you would think the kid's going to want to try and give it a go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I worry about the pressure that they could keep, you know, the multiple bodies that Georgia could throw out there and make things, you know, he couldn't get loose last week against A&M. I thought that was a huge deal. A&M, you know, finally, you know, having some pride and saying, all right, we're not going to let these scrambles take us out of the game, and then they ultimately get the turnover. That's a difference in the game because of them tackling the quarterback and forcing the fumble. So it's a stay away for me also. 4 p.m.
I'd probably lay it if I had to. How about this? Total game, 17.5, 18-point favorite. The total is 51.
Yeah.
So there you're looking there. You're expecting, 34-17?
I do.
Unless you're
going to
get to 17?
It depends how early they go down multiple
scores.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point. You're right.
I do want to see LSU's defensive line against Georgia's offensive line because if Georgia's going to win a national title, they are going to do it by that offensive line and protecting Bennett and also being consistent in the run game. And that's what I'm interested in when we look down the road because that's – I think a lot of people are just penciling them in, but – now it's time. I get it. They'll be up for games, but that's the matchup I want to see in this game.
If you are penciling and looking ahead, if you are Georgia and if you win, I'm going to assume that you will maintain your number one ranking. At number four, who scares you more as Kirby Smart, as Georgia? Who would you least rather play, USC or Ohio State?
I would rather play USC or Ohio State.
Because you figure if USC wins, USC wins, they'll be four. USC loses, Ohio State will be four. So you would rather play Ohio State than USC, is what you're saying.
No. I would rather have to play at USC.
Okay. Just because the defense is so bad?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And I trust.
You would trust your defense to be able to contain Caleb Williams and all the improv that he could do. I
would have confidence.
Okay.
I would have confidence. Okay. I don't know if I trust.
Yeah, no, but I guess the thing is Kirby has been familiar with that from the Rose Bowl a few years ago and that type of scheme and knowing what it brings. So I guess I could see that. That's probably the way I would lean to just because there is the potential Ohio State comes in there all bowed up with the second chance and the 18 million five stars that they have decide to play and they show up. So I guess you're right.
Man, if we could pull the tape of you talking about Ohio State before the season and not talking about them now.
Well, I didn't know that Trevion Henderson all of a sudden would become this frail, delicate, injury prone back. I didn't know that Jackson Smith and Jigba would have a hamstring that was going to get hurt the first week of the year and never heal. And
but you did know who their defense coordinator was going to be.
Boy, I thought Jimmy Knowles was going to come in there and make it all better.
Wow,
that was a complete debacle in the fourth
quarter. Can they get Jim Leonard?
They could. I bet you they could. Trade one Jimmy for another.
Here's the one thing that scares me about Ohio State, okay, is if you think – because I actually think if TCU loses, they're going to be 4, and Ohio State could be 3.
And wait. So you think if TCU loses, TCU's out?
No, I think they're 4.
Okay. All right, I got what you're saying.
I think they're 4, and Ohio State's 3, and Ohio State gets everything they want. Not having to wait 365 days, they get it in about 40.
You think that? I don't think they would do that, but wow, that would be something.
Here's another thing. If Michigan plays Ohio State, what's the line?
Ohio State minus 2.5. I think I saw someone post Ohio State 2.5. That's what I saw. I can't remember who it was out there in the Twitter sphere, but someone asked that question to someone, and I saw the answer was Ohio State as a slight favorite.
I'm just saying.
How could you bet them? How could you not take Michigan in the rematch?
I would take Ohio State for all the reasons you said no for the last 6 weeks about getting this formal plan together, everybody healthy, now guys want to play football, all that stuff. Like, this is – they don't ever get to be the underdog, and they could talk themselves – that there's no way – okay, you could open that line at Michigan 2.5. There's no – or Ohio State 2.5. There's no way it's staying there. No chance. No chance.
All right. I'll be curious.
Old maybe 11 shows back up for Ohio State. Trevion.
No, 11 has played his last game.
Okay.
Yeah, 11's played his last game. Now, the question I have, we're just completely gone off the rails here.
What else is there to talk about?
If you are the Rose Bowl and your options are the Big Ten West champion, Purdue, which is in the Big Ten championship game and has not been to the Rose Bowl in 22 years. Yep. That's option one. Option two is Ohio State, who will be the highest ranked team in the Big Ten after that, coming off of an awful loss at home. They were at the Rose Bowl last year. You know that none of these guys are going to play. If they go there, the fans are still upset about the game, and there'll be very lack of interest among most people going out there. That's option two. And then you got Penn State, who was there a few years ago and lost both got absolutely boat raced by Michigan and then lost at home to Ohio State. I would take Purdue. Of those teams, Purdue's fans would be the most excited about going out there. That's what I would do.
You can't take them if they get beat by 50 by Michigan. I don't see how you could do that. I think Purdue, obviously, they win, they're in. But I still think it's Penn State because they'll sell the hell out of that. And they'll sell all their tickets. They do have a lot of youth that said the tackle said he's coming back. Everybody will play for them. So I think they would go towards Penn State as opposed. I don't see how you could take a Purdue team that gets beat 40-10 in the Big Ten title game. I mean, I get it how the fan base would walk out to Pasadena to play. So I get where you're coming from, but I don't even think Ohio State's worth the conversation.
I don't
of all the reasons you
I don't
just
either.
Mentioned.
Like I was shocked when whoever it was reading on .com when they do the ball projections that they had Ohio State was like unanimous going to be Ohio State Washington. I don't see that at all. I guess they're just technically going by the letter of the law that they'll take the highest rated team. That's not like, but I don't know why you would take them. I really don't.
All right. Let's just do the rest of these games. And then I got a couple questions for you too. Big picture. UCF Tulane. I would expect Tulane to play better than they did the last time these two teams played.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with what they did at Cincinnati. That offense is really, really tricky, and they do a great job with that. So, Gus Malzahn in a rematch. I like Tulane in this game.
I will unfortunately have to go against you there. Okay. I think UCF took the the foot off the gas last week and kind of got a little bored being up so big, and then all of a sudden they found themselves in a game. I think that was probably, in retrospect, the fact that they went, held on, and won. I think that was a good thing. So I think it was a good result in the sense that it allows Gus Malzahn to get that team refocused, and now an opportunity. You lost to Navy a couple weeks ago. You didn't play your best game
last week.
You didn't play your best game last week. Should have lost. Now you have an opportunity to win a conference title, and go out and do it.
Very good. You know my feelings here. Fresno State at Boise. Boise -3, 54.
We're going to be on the same side.
No chance I'm going against Fresno State. I love this situation for them and seeing what they did. Shout out to Fresno State, too. I saw they posted the group of five capacity tickets sold for the season. It's amazing what they did, looking at other West Coast schools and not naming those West Coast schools as far as attendance goes. Good for them. It's an awesome place. It's a great program, and I expect them to go up to Boise and play well. Big Ten title game. I think the only side to play here is Purdue. It's the same exact situation as last year. I took Iowa, and it was not pretty. I'm taking Purdue.
You're going to do it again.
I don't care. Yeah. At least this team could throw the ball.
That's true.
That's awesome. At least they could throw it, and they will have a good plan. I don't know why. I feel like this is the game we don't get to see enough. I love when Purdue plays Michigan. I hope Michigan wears their traditional uniforms.
You must just be a fan of the Greasy family.
That's a fact, of course. But I love the Purdue fan base. I love that they got here. There was plenty of times during this season. You go back, think about how they started the season. Then you think about that debacle at Syracuse. And to be able to claw back, I get it. It's one of the worst divisions in Power 5. But you have a team that's right there in Indiana, and Indianapolis is so close, yet it's been so far away, and they got their chance, and I love that. I love that it's them, and they got their chance, and we'll see what they do with it. I think, you know, you have all the numbers on Brohm and how good he is as an underdog. He's a great play caller. He's going to be aggressive. Michigan, I said, it's like a record, a broken record. Like, how do you get up after beating Ohio State? You have everything to play for. You probably don't even have to win to get in the playoff. So the motivation is there. I get it. They're probably going to manhandle. Purdue cannot run the ball. I'm not saying this is a winner.
No, they can't.
I'm just taking Purdue plus the 16.5.
I might look at the over here.
I was just looking at it.
Just because
I thought it was 62, but it's 52.
Yeah, being that the game is inside, that's going to help Purdue's offense, I think, quite a bit. A team that is going to have to throw the ball, and you know they're going to throw the ball, and it's going to mean more possessions because your clock is going to stop on incomplete. Like, I think this is going to lead towards more plays. I think you probably get at least one long touchdown run by Michigan. So, I can get on board. I think in order of the way I would play this game, I think it would be over and then lay the points with Michigan.
All right. If you're Jeff Brohm, you win the toss.
I want the ball.
Really? Okay.
I want the ball. I want my offense on the field to start the game and Michigan's defense on the field all geeked up and raring to go, and maybe you catch a little over pursuit or something and you're able to get on the board early.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand about the broadcast of Ohio State, Michigan. The announcing crew started bashing Harbaugh, saying this is why you take the ball when you win the toss, because you don't want the crowd to get involved. And then by the end of the first half, the announcing crew is saying, what a genius move by Jim Harbaugh to defer and take the ball in the second half.
It's weird.
Amazing
how
that worked out.
That was interesting.
I don't know. I might have been the only one that picked up on
that. Yeah, no, I did too. I didn't catch the start of it because I was in the stadium and I didn't have the telecast on at the time. But I did when we were I did catch that en route to where the hell did we go last week? To L.A. I did hear them talk about, oh, no, Michigan gets the ball to start the second half. And I did catch that part of it, yeah. Usually you don't get the ball first to start the game and the second half.
I'm always a defer guy. That's just
yeah. I get it. I usually am too. But I think in a situation like this, as a big underdog, go out there and just go with it. See what happens.
All right, we mentioned it. 8 o'clock, Clemson, North Carolina. 7.5, 63.5. I don't have anything. I will just say this: for seeing people just drag Dabo about the quarterback position, I'm guessing Cade Klubnik hasn't been great in practice.
That's the underlying thing. You know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They see him every day. They've got to know, right?
You know? So just, you know, that it didn't work out. The way they had it set up, it didn't work out. So Dabo still thinks that DJ is the best guy to get wins. And that's that. I trust coaching staffs. I'm sorry. Like you said, they're there every day.
I will say this, though. I think what's sticking in people's mind is how Klubnik came in late against Georgia Tech and they were executing crisply and quickly and moved the ball down. I know he had the bad turnover against Notre Dame. I think it might just be more of a big picture kind of thing with Clemson too. Like, remember like 2015, 16, it was like the standard is the best or the best is the standard. Like that, like Clemson, like perfect. Like it seems like they've just kind of gotten away from that. Like it's like, okay, yeah, DTG is kind of, we're going to win. We're going to go 10-2. And it just seems like it's a little different than when you have to bring your own guts in the Roy bus and being able to operate with that chip on their shoulder. Like it just seems like there's something a little off about Dabo and his delivery of like the expectations of the program. That's all. But yes, I agree with you. Like, and someone said to me too the other day that the kid that they got coming in this year supposedly is better than Klubnik. So do you think there would be something along the lines of, do we want to go to Klubnik now and then maybe next year this kid comes in and he's better and we have to, like, I'm just throwing things out there because we're looking for stuff to talk about. But I think, yes, it would be easy to go to Klubnik. And like I said, I'm on board with that because it's clear that you know what you're going to get from DJ, and maybe there's a chance that Club that goes out against North Carolina if he does see the field and he plays well. So all that being said, it's hard to like North Carolina right now, just with how they played the last couple of weeks, certainly on offense. And you would think Clemson not getting to the ACC championship game last year, being an opportunity to at least get back there and win the ACC title with everything that they've kind of gone through this year in a disappointing season by their standard. I would expect Clemson to come out and play well and win this game.
Yeah, there's plenty going on. I will say this. The Clemson defense, Ohio State wide receiving group, I thought those guys were the top of their tiers as far as groups go in the country, and they have been as disappointing as anything this year. So that when you look at team struggles and why they lost, I feel like those are main culprits. Cause I really thought Clemson's defensive line, if that front seven was going to be wrecking havoc. And last week you even saw South Carolina dice them up and get throws down the field to expose that secondary. So that was pretty eye-opening over the course of the season to see play out. So I will say this, I am going to take Purdue plus the points, Utah plus the points, and Kansas State.
The only game I feel that I definitely feel like is going to be in the column is Utah plus the points.
Okay.
I could see myself on over in the Big Ten game and Georgia minus the points in the SEC game. But That's really about it. This is not a – I'm going to get crushed on Saturday on the board because I'm going to throw three games up there, unfortunately, that I have no desire to play.
Please throw New Mexico State. Just make sure we got a Valpo magnet, please.
I don't know if we do.
Well, get Rodney on it.
I was going to say, get Rocket Rod, and I know Dish is probably preoccupied with the USA being in the round of 16 now. So I don't know if Dish is going to be working this week or not. So I'm kidding. We love Dish.
Shout out to Dish. We love Dish.
But maybe I'll just retire the board this weekend and be like, we're just going to leave it empty. All black, just kind of
hey,
the board is retired.
I did my 13 weeks. Put it up, bring back the wheel, and then put the four guys on the desk on the wheel. Whoever it ends on has to give the three picks.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Everything going on. Obviously, this portal is going to be madness. I have one question written down for you. Because I think it's going to work out. And it's Hugh Freeze at Auburn. And I get it, the baggage. But the guy knows how to play the game. And you need to know how to play the game at Auburn. So with that being said, I just have this question. Would he be the head coach of Auburn if he did not have two wins over Nick Saban?
No.
Okay.
No. Not at all.
I just think about how different that resume would be if he didn't have those two wins.
Like, what?
It's the first thing that's brought up every time you mention his name.
Yeah, Hugh Freeze, who twice beat Alabama twice in 2014 and 2015. That's it. That's the and look, there is. I mean, it's well. The first thing that's brought up is everything that happened off the field.
Yeah.
Then when you're actually talking on the field, it's beat Alabama consecutive years. Yeah. No, you could say that about a lot of people, though. Like you wouldn't be the head coach. So, like, would have the Socceroos are moving on. Australia 1, Denmark 0. Australia will move on to the round of 16.
Wow. They had to be good odds.
Yeah, they were probably the longest shot of the group. So they were, let's see, 2D. Let me get my bracket out. Where does 2D go? 2D will face C1. So they will face the winner. They will face either Argentina or Poland probably in the next round. Wow. How about that? Yeah.
World Cup thoughts, anything?
World Cup thoughts, officiating has been poor.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
Why does the referee wear shin guards?
You never know when someone might slide and maybe get inadvertently kicked.
Hockey refs don't wear shoulder pads.
No. So I remember I remember some hockey linesmen or whatever used to wear shin pads under their pants. You look the part. You just look good. How about that? Is that good? Is that a good enough answer?
I guess so.
But yeah, no, the injury time, stoppage time has been insane, ridiculous. Look, I get it. I think part of the reason why is people who are used to these major competitions and tournaments are used to it being kind of shortchanged, thinking there's going to be more, and there's not. And now the reality when they throw 9 minutes up there, it's like, are you kidding me? But no, I think that the penalty call on Ghana on Thanksgiving Day, where they gave Pinaldo the penalty kick, was one of the worst penalty decisions I've seen. And I almost wonder if that was and they didn't even go to VAR. They didn't even go to use VAR to review it, which is astounding, which makes me leads me to believe that it was right after that run of all these nil-nil games. Like, they needed a goal. They needed a match with the goal. It was, okay, give Pinaldo the penalty kick, and now that lets unclog the play and open it up. That game was headed to nil-nil until that call. And then they got the penalty kill, the penalty goal, and it opened it up. And it put my Thanksgiving Day account on tilt, that's for sure. Happy Thanksgiving. Enzo, Enzo, why is there no Christmas? Because Uncle Chris had under 3.5 in Portugal, Ghana.
That is perfectly said. Perfectly said. All right. I think that's that.
You didn't even ask me about the Jets. I'm surprised.
Hey, I'm just happy because in week 3 I said the Jets are better than the Giants, and it's still true.
Yes, they are. The Jets are, if Mike White remains quarterback, the Jets are making the playoffs.
Okay.
They absolutely are.
Buffalo tomorrow night, right?
Kind of weirdly low, isn't it?
It feels like every Thursday night game is. No?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Do you get to be part of Al's conversation with Bill?
No, I do not. I do not.
Is that private over at Bill's house?
It is.
Yeah, I figured.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
Big Mike Happy Recap again. I'm taking Utah plus the points, Kansas State plus the points, Purdue plus the points. I might just throw them in a teaser in the column and just say, hey, no tease college football. It's Championship Saturday. Here's 3. Throw them in a teaser and add all the points. Like, thought of that. You know what? I think that's what I'm going to do. All right, Big Mike Happy Recap for you. Guaranteed in the column is?
Only guarantee is Utah plus 3. That's all I can can honestly get to right now. Like I said, maybe over in the Big Ten game, maybe Georgia. That might be it.
And I can't believe I forgot to put Army in the column last week.
You did? God, yeah, you were all over that too.
All over it. How Texas Tech got there, I don't know. But 29-21-1 for the year in the column. You, sir, are up to?
I am 41-22-1.
Hell. Hell of an effort.
Yeah.
I don't care what the board says. We know
board's 500.
The pride we take in the column record.
We go back to the column and the pod are our roots.
And you absolutely dominated the column this year. That's a heck of an effort by you.
Thank you, sir. So, yeah, I finished one game out of the cashing in the Will Hill College tournament, and I'm top 20 right now in the Golden Nugget contest. So still an opportunity to finish this year strong.
Very good. All right, my man. Have a good time in New England.
I will.
In Dallas. We'll see you Sunday for the selection show.
I will. Are you coming up?
I think I'm gonna be on the bowl game part once the lines get I think there's some kind of show.
Oh yeah, I think it's 7 o'clock at night reveal. Or so, right? Bowl mania. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they got like 9 hours of content to fill, so they're gonna fire up your boy from Bureau Cam in DC.
Boy, I didn't even get asked to do that.
Oh, I think you'll be
not 9 hours of content and they can't even time fine for your boy here. All right.
If you're not coming on, then I'm not coming
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's a perfect solidarity.
Yeah. Gallagher, eat that. All right. Good luck with your World Cup and travel safe. We will talk to you soon. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.